Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jason, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
And I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
And action. Hey, welcome to our better MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with my man Shang, my man Rindog. We got Bubba Jenkins coming back on today. Yes, I'm excited. As well as Jordan Williams, who's an awesome fighter. The guy's a beast. Had a crazy fight last time where he got like headbutted like twice. He got low blowed. It was just like a crazy fight.
It was a street fight.
It was legitimate, like prison rules. But did you watch the fights yesterday? Did you watch them?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. How are you going to say, oh, well, you didn't watch them? So it's okay. It's all right. Well, listen, I'll tell you what happened. It sounds like you're like in a river now, right? Are we getting some weird feedback, Joe?
Yeah, it sounds like there's a river in the background.
Shang, try to fix your audio a little bit.
A river? What?
Yeah, that now it's better, right, Joe?
Is your cell phone near your microphone, or is there any other electronics near your microphone? Because that could cause interference.
Yeah, no, no.
All right. Well, listen, I'll tell you what happened. First of all, there were some great fights yesterday. Michael Chiesa is finally coming into his own, and he called out Colby Covington. And you know what? They're very similar, these two fighters. Because they just go, and it's hard to keep the pace. It's a bad fight for Colby because Colby's right there, like getting the title shot. He lost to Usman. His fight for his last fight, he looked great against Woodley. I think it's kind of a step down for him as far as rankings go, and it's kind of a big risk, small reward because they are very similar fighters of guys who just push the pace, and Chiesa looked great. Neil Magny's no joke. Neil Magny's a good wrestler, good fighter, and Chiesa just beat him, 50-45? I don't think he lost a round against him.
Kobe is faster than him. He is faster than him. So I think they both are a push the pace, but Kobe, hand speed-wise and just speed-wise, he's faster than him. So I think – but their record's similar. If you look at it, and actually Kobe's record's not actually equal to his.
Kobe's got a better record. Kobe lost to two
fighters.
He got
a better record, but, I mean, if you look at how many fights, he has six, knockouts. I don't know, man. I think it's a good fight.
It's a good fight. If I was Kobe, I would stay away from Chiesa. Not because I don't think he could beat Chiesa, just because it's one of those fights where it's not going to be a high-profile fight because Chiesa doesn't have that huge name as far as, like, him versus Usman, him versus Masvidal, even him versus, like, him versus McGregor at 170.
Him versus Jake Paul. I think him and Jake Paul would have a great fight.
I think he would murder Jake Paul in any in any area of the sport.
Even if they played checkers, he'd beat him.
The only thing he could, like, even at, like, trolling, I think maybe he could. Maybe Jake hasn't been trolling. Internet trolling. But, look, I'm telling you, Chiesa's good. Chiesa's really, really good. There's a guy that, like, he submitted Benil Dariush. Dariush, like, barely lost to Chrome Gracie in a jiu-jitsu match. And Chiesa submitted him. Yeah. So good for Michael. Good for him.
Well, he deserves it. But I think that UFC wants the big fights. That's why I say they'd fight Jake Paul. If you put a broom in there that had giant social media, they'd fight. They just sit there smacking a broom around. That's what they're about now. We knows it.
No, what are you talking about? I was talking about
UFC. I'm gonna be an asshole all day on the show. The UFC is about making money, and making big fights. What are you talking about? Well, that's why Jake Paul's in the running.
First of all, you're a moron because yesterday the main event was Neil Magny versus Chiesa, who are not big fighters.
That's all they're about. Fuck that. That's what they're about.
Oh great.
I'm giving you shit.
This is bitter shame.
But you see, Adam's eyes watered a little bit. Like, this is Bush. You're full of it.
Okay. So I'll tell you who I felt bad for was Roxanne Modafferi, because throw her in with killers. I mean, she's harder to finish than a Tito Ortiz press conference, which, by the way, I put that on Instagram and Jenna Jameson liked it.
Wow.
there's like some real petty. And I'll tell you who looked great was Warley Alves. Shang, this dude, Warley Alves, who has a win over Colby Covington. Like they were saying, he hasn't really been the star that thought he was going to be. But yesterday, it was like someone like hit on his girlfriend or took his lunch money. He came out, he did 3 leg kicks in a row to the side and crumbled this dude that they were hyping as the underdog. I'm telling you, you know, I think the Fight Island, some of these guys from the Middle East, I'm not saying they're not good. They're obviously badass. But because of COVID, they're getting a lot of fights that maybe they wouldn't normally get right away because they're right there. They're right there. You know, they're in Abu Dhabi. So, like, they're like Chimaev wouldn't have had 3 fights if it wasn't for COVID in like 2 days or something, you know?
Right.
So this dude stopped that hype train quickly. Now,
by the way, that fucked up my 5-fight parlay. That was the last fight of my 5-fight parlay. I just needed the Armenian dude to win, and he was like a -2 something favorite. And he goes in there and gets freaking knocked out or taken out in the first round. I'm like, I'm never betting on MMA ever again, ever.
Well, you can't say that. No, what about this weekend?
I've already wasted all my money on this card or this yesterday's card.
I didn't
it's
get to
so
watch
infuriating.
That one yesterday because I was
there was a fight yesterday. Ike Villanueva. I don't even know who this guy is. Like, I was like on a 3-fight losing streak. He fought this guy, Marrera, who looked like it was like Fear Factor. Like, he didn't want, like, he just got thrown in there. Like, it was a bet. And he was just trying not to get hit. He didn't throw a punch in the first round. He protected his face the whole time. And then the guy hit him in the belly. He put his hands down and just went boom. And you ever see that, like, that clip of, what's that guy's name? In Creed, the guy who played Creed, not Apollo Creed, the son.
Michael Winslow?
What's his name?
Is it Michael Winslow?
No, the guy who played the
movie Michael Creed. Winslow was in Police Academy.
Michael Jordan. Michael B. Jordan, his name, right?
Michael B. Jordan, that's his
name. Oh, the new Creed.
You ever see the clip where he gets knocked out, like, in sparring? Like, they had a clip of him actually taking a punch where his head just went, like, it was almost like his head did, like, a Beetlejuice thing where it just started spinning.
Where it looked like somebody had a string attached to it. Yeah.
That's exactly how this looked. Like, it looked like his head was getting like hit off his body. Wean Dog, am I right?
Yeah.
That was a crazy, can you bring that up?
What's the worst?
Wean Dog, can you, hold on. What
bring
was
up
that?
What?
Pull it up.
Pull up that knockout of one of
the worst here. Knockout I think that looked like that was Ngannou when he just up that uppercut from hell.
Oh, against Overeem.
The Overeem's head looked like, it looked like a movie. Yep. It was choreographed.
It looked like a cartoon. It looked like a Popeye cartoon.
Yeah.
So, like when Popeye just lines up and just hits somebody. Yeah. And that was, I felt bad for Overeem. It's hard to feel bad for Overeem because he's been
such
the bully.
A smug
for
bitch.
So long. Yeah. And he's also like a guy that you know is taking juice and yada, yada, yada. And I literally felt bad for the guy. And he's also really nice to me now. He actually is always like, he's actually really nice.
Shit. Okay. I take back the smug bitch. Okay. But just smug.
I think in his older years, he's gotten humbled a little bit like that. He's been a little humbled. But when he beat up Brock Lesnar, that was crazy. Like, he ran through Brock Lesnar. He had Brock Lesnar running from him. Brock Lesnar is the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life, and he was running from Overeem. That's how scary Overeem
is. But if you look at it, I mean, Frank Mir did a number on him initially.
On Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
He just caught him. He caught him like a heel hook. I mean, Brock was winning that fight.
Still, how are you going to minimize that?
First of all, Brock was winning that fight, and Masagadi stood him up for some reason. And then, no, that was not the same because Brock got caught, he tapped, and it was over. Whereas this one, Brock was like, it was like a schoolyard fight where one kid decides, I didn't sign up for this. Like, get me the fuck out of here.
What was the fight with Brock Lesnar when he did like 50 backflips and like a somersault across the octagon?
That was I mean, Cain Velasquez and both Overeem had him running. For
yeah, Congress. They had him noodle leg.
That shit was hilarious.
It was Cain Velasquez that noodled him. I was telling a friend about him getting noodled, and they're like, "No, he's too big, man. There's no way he did that." You didn't understand when Cain Velasquez was in his prime, he was a fucking monster.
Yeah, but I still think pre diverticulitis Brock Lesnar, the guy that beat up Frank Mir in the second time, I feel like he would have been champion for a while. Something happened to him.
Oh, when fuck out of here.
Yeah, when he went to the hospital for 6 months.
My brother had the same exact thing. I'm telling you, it's not, forget Who? His illness. My brother, my older brother, who's in the hospital right now, just had a stroke. I'm telling you right now, Brock Lesnar would have got, a real top flight judo guy would have fucking took him out.
Judo guy? It was his wrestling was insane.
He was juiced up. He's juiced
he
up.
He was an NCAA champion, twice.
His nipples.
He was a two-time.
His nipples were huge.
He was lactating.
Why do I feel like I'm at the barber shop and like Coming to America when Chang comes on, where we're like the fucking
his nipples. I know. His nipples were huge from right. Ween was right. He was lactating. No, he's lactating steroids.
Look, there's no doubt he was on steroids. Okay, he got busted.
I don't give him no props.
I give him props. He wasn't when he went to NCAA's. He wasn't on steroids. Okay.
Okay, but that's not what we're talking about.
Then he went to the WWE and was doing backward flips off the top ropes like a fucking maniac for a guy 300 pounds. He has insane thing. And then when he got embarrassed by Frank Mir. He got embarrassed. The whole world was like, whoa. When he came back. To come back the way he did, and Frank Mir was like, my jiu-jitsu's on a level that he was talking all this shit, and Brock put him in a schoolyard headlock and just went boing, boing, boing. You're a fucking black belt that's like astronomical, like amazing black belt. And he's like, oh yeah, here's your jiu-jitsu, boing.
Yeah, but I mean, anybody can get caught in a schoolyard headlock.
Nobody can hold Frank Mir like
come
that.
Come on, anybody. Ween, look at Ween's. Ween's gotten caught in the headlock.
Frank Mir, after that fight, put on like 80 pounds of muscle, and he just destroyed Chet Congo because he was like, he was working out for 6 hours a day going, that's never going to happen to me again. You know, and then Brock got sick. He came back. He fought Shane Carwin, and he got murked by Carwin in the first round, who hit him 9,000 times in the head. And then Brock came back and somehow got an arm triangle. And then that was the beginning of the end. It was sort of like when Tyson came out of jail. He just wasn't the same Tyson. But anyway, Doug, are you going to show that knockout?
This has been the weirdest rant. We went from breaking down the card to like a 20-minute Brock Lesnar thing. What knockout did you want? Did you want the movie knockout or
the? Adam's full of shit. That's why Adam's being full of shit, saying that Brock Lesnar would have had a long run.
He would have had a long run. Ike Villanueva.
I can't even show that on the podcast because we're taken down.
Who cares? It's not going to get us. We'll just get demonetized, so we won't get the fucking 7 cents. All right. So I'd rather people watch it than me make 19 cents and be even more depressed. All right. So also on the card, Matt Schnell beat Tyson Am. Good selling win. I think that fight was overlooked. It was two good guys. Schnell was on a losing streak. He got knocked out in the first, came back. Tyson was on like a 3-fight winning streak, but Schnell just out thing. Lerone Murphy won, and I give this guy credit too because he's undefeated. He's 10-0, and he got hurt in the third. He got rocked, and he came back with a double leg. And that's when I think that, when guys can get rocked and come back and win, that's when the guy's got character. That's when the guy's a real fighter because anyone can be the hammer. It's when you're the nail. When you go from hammer to nail to hammer in a fight.
Did you just use a fighting perfect cliche? That was awesome.
this guy Akhmedov, I think that fight was at 170, right? The guy that they the one versus Tom Breeze.
Yeah,
I thought that was an 85 pounder. He went to 70. This dude's gonna be a problem. He's a guy because he almost beat Chris Weidman, and he beat a bunch of guys. He beat the guy that from Colorado that was putting cocaine up his asshole and balloons. What's that guy's name?
Ian Heinisch.
Yeah, I beat Ian Heinisch. Beat a lot of guys, this guy. And now he beat Tom Breeze and he beat him with the arm triangle. This guy was out, Chang. I mean out. Fucking out. And his And then the ref wouldn't stop it. It's almost like he passed out, woke up, and then tapped. That's how the ref was like.
Well, shouldn't they have stopped it when he was first out?
Yes, these refs got to start taking jiu-jitsu.
No. According to the commentary, they are saying that the ref did a good job because he wasn't out until the ref stopped it. That's what DC was saying.
His arm didn't move. His arm was on the mat.
Were you watching out with the volume on?
Ween, that means you're out.
Oh, my
God. He was
God,
breathing. He was still breathing. He looked out. I mean, look.
He looked out for sure from a viewer standpoint watching at home. But based on the commentary also thought he was out. But then they noticed that the ref knew that he was up. He was giving him hand signals or something. And then they stopped the fight because he did eventually.
What's on your forehead, Ween?
It's a band-aid because my forehead is bleeding.
Why is your forehead bleeding?
From acne. I pick out my acne and then it starts bleeding.
I got a fucking zit right there. And I'm doing a TV show on Saturday for the UFC, a watch party.
It's the worst.
I'm going to Vegas to watch the fights with Forrest Griffin.
It'll come off.
No, I know Forrest is going to
put your cheek. Put toothpaste on it. That's what I heard. Just put toothpaste on it.
Yeah, I'll dry it out if you use toothpaste.
That'll dry it out. No, I'm not joking. I know that sounds weird, but that's true. The reason I didn't see the fights because I had some problems with I had my kid, but my kid comes first. I don't give a fuck everything else. Yeah. But I didn't want to talk about nothing but Max Holloway. That's all that fucking matters in the world right now.
I have this knockout if you want to play it really quick.
All right, play it real quick. Don't talk about Max Holloway. Well, meanwhile, right. Shang, it started at 6 o'clock in the morning, these fights. All right,
it's going to happen like right here.
Yeah, they were at 6. The main car started at 9 on the West Coast, which I said it's like going down on a girl and she has a hairy bush. Like, not my first choice, but I'm still going to do it. Okay. All right, look at this. Shang, look at that. Why is it sped up?
I don't know.
Watch it, Shane.
It looks sped up.
Look, watch. You see that?
That's
like, yeah. I think because of YouTube, watch this. Ooh. Look. Bing. Right here. Oh, like his head went all the way around.
That's like a UFC video.
It did a loop de loop.
Yeah, man. I mean,
his head did a loop de loop, but we've seen people get kicked in the head, and I've seen that loop-de-loop head knockout before.
So. Yeah. I think it was because of YouTube. They put it in like 1.5 speed, well, so you didn't.
Yeah, weird shit happens when you like try to play YouTube videos on Zoom. Either it's like really choppy, or like it's sped up, or some shit. You know.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So Holloway, you want to talk about Holloway?
I know. Okay. Okay. One, I'm happy that now they're realizing he always been the truth. The last fight, he actually was robbed before that. Yep. He should have the belt. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. And the bottom line is he showed he's absolutely a fucking monster. He was doing look away punches and blasting this dude. I mean, yeah. He was looking at like Dana White, like, hey, what's up? Pow and popping. I mean, it was one of the best performance I've seen, period.
Now, we talked about this Tuesday, but I don't think the fight should have been stopped. Do you think the corner No, right? Because I think that Cater still had one punch power. He was still landing punches even throughout the fight. People say, well, you got to protect the fighter against for himself. I think in some situations, like I love Tom Galicchio, right? I love Tom Galicchio more than anything, but he doesn't really have that one punch power. And there were fights, I think it was James Krause, where he was just like, oh no, this is rough. Or the Cyborg fight, when she was just beating the shit out of that girl that we had on the podcast. I forgot her name, but it was like the girl had no knockouts or one knockout where you're just like, okay. Like, yeah,
but no, but Cater was getting bloodied, man. He was absolutely, it looked like you got to protect the fighter from himself. And that looked like a situation for it. Huh?
You think it should have been stopped?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know, man.
Absolutely. It should have been stopped.
I disagree with that. I understand in some cases, but not in this case. The guy has a lot of knockouts. Although, you know, look, I was at the Dan Hooker fight when Dan Hooker fought the guy with the
spinning wheel kick.
Yeah, and that fight should have been stopped. And Hooker got more power than him.
Yeah, but he was getting pieced up. He was getting pieced up, like really getting pieced up, man. And his face looked like his face was getting mushed. Really. Come on. I think I know what you're saying. Well, he still has that one, punch power where he can just knock you out. but it just looked like such a mismatch. There were so many unanswered. He didn't even block some punches. He was getting beat up to the body, beat up to the head, and Max was just murdering him, dude. And I think that he's such a fighter. He's like, fuck it, I'm still here. It's for the ref to get in there, man. It's for the ref to stop you. I understand.
I just, in this case, I don't agree with it, but I could see both sides. And if it was stopped, I wouldn't have been like, bad stoppage. So at the same time, I err on the fact that, because Cato's got enough power and he was landing enough. He was landing those elbows and this and that. Max was just on a different level, like you said. By the way, yesterday, Khabib's cousin. Now, how tough is his family? Because, I mean, Ramadan? What is that like over there? Like those family get-togethers? Because it seems like everybody in the family is a straight murderer. Because his cousin,
everybody, like the grandmother. Oh shit! Good double leg, grandma. Like what?
He's probably the toughest out of anybody. I swear, babies from Dagestan are born with cauliflower ears, wrestling singlets. They have ringworm. Because this kid is like, he's like Khabib, but with striking, with the better striking. I mean, he was throwing crazy axe kicks and just. This dude looked like a murderer. Yeah. Now, granted, I don't know how good this other guy that he fought was. I guess he was good, but not fighting the guys that Khabib is. But the dude's undefeated. He's 12-0. And
I think it's something in their water. I think they drink like it's just crumpled rocks or something. I don't know what it is, but it's just that whole lineage is just beast mode.
Well, I heard Jordan Burroughs talk about it on the Rogan podcast. If you haven't heard that podcast, it's really,
yeah,
good.
I heard.
And he talked about how, you know, in Russia, like if you're a good wrestler, that's what you go to school for. Like you get in trouble for reading books. It's not like wrestling. It's just wrestling. Wrestling is period one, period two, period three. Then you go recess, which is probably more wrestling. Wrestling, yeah. Period four, five, six. The government takes care of you, take care of your family. And if you don't make it like to the whatever, that they assign you a job. But imagine like how good we would be in America if all we did was sports, like for good athletes. I mean, imagine like there was no.
Their life is so rough over there. Like we get in the YouTube wormhole where they're wrestling. Like I don't think Americans would never do it because we're too preoccupied with so much shit going on, elections and the world and the capital and all other shit.
Well, I mean, they got some corrupt stuff over there too. But I mean, I think we get burned out. There's no luxury of getting burned out by a sport over there. It's just you're wrestling. I mean, but it's just crazy how good Dagestan is and Russia is and some of the other places, Chechnya, at wrestling. I mean, we had a kid on our team who was from Chechnya that I coached, didn't even wrestle over there, and he was the best kid in the league. Like he just picked it up.
Best kid out of all of them just because
he was from there. Like he just wrestled with his buddies, you know, and he was already like,
well, you know what though? I think that I'm going to say this. A lot of people that listen to it, that your show is just Khabib. They sleep on his fucking hands, man. Cause he kind of pieced up Connor too. He was piecing Connor.
He knocked him down.
Right. Knocked him down. I don't know why. I think that people are so afraid of his wrestling and the fact he can grapple you and grab you. And all of a sudden you feel a little bitch in you come out. That's it, like, he seems like when he grabs you, a little bitch in your chest goes, oh God, this motherfucker's strong. He got gorilla strength, if that makes sense. Yeah I mean, I think that if you can get somebody with hands like that and make him wrestle, you're in trouble.
No, it's true. Like, I remember when we talked to Al Iaquinta, and Al, you know, Al was like, I think took second in the state of New York wrestled in college. I think he was a JUCO All-American, and he was like, Khabib's just a different. He goes, it felt like it was a heavyweight grabbing you. I mean, I was reading a thing that he never lost a sparring session in any of his sparring. Like he never lost. Like he's lost rounds, like a round or two, but not like, you know, best out of three.
Well, Connor beat him one round.
No, I'm talking about in sparring, at AKA. His coach said, Javier Mendez, that he's never lost in sparring ever.
But if he comes back, do you think if he comes back, I mean, I see three people he could fight, but I actually would like to see Connor fight him again. Even though I don't think Connor is going to win, I think it would be a big fight.
I don't know. I mean, there was a thing today about Connor allegedly is being sued for $20 million for sexual assault and rape by the girl and her mother.
What the mother get? He tried to get a mother dick too. What?
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like the girl came over in a limo with his friend, and then she doesn't remember what happened. It just seems like I don't know what happened. None of it's good. You know, he says that, you know, it's been going on for 2 years and it's been proven false and this and that, but he's got to get his shit together, man. Like, this is not what he needs to be focused on.
Stop doing dumb shit. But you know what?
It was 2018. It was 3 years ago. It was 2 years ago, maybe, right. You know. But
look at John Jones. To me, John Jones is the same thing. It's like, stop doing dumb shit out of the fucking octagon. Get your shit together. And I think that Conor could end up with so much stuff going on outside that he could end up being like that.
What is up, people? How's it going? What's going on? Are we ready for some football? Well, college football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend, right? And the NFL regular season is finishing up, but the playoff picture becoming clearer. There's only one place that has you covered, and one place we trust. What's that place? BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code CLNS50 for your 50% welcome bonus, okay? I'm talking about in the NFL, in college football, okay? Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Yes, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And you got to visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline _AG. That's at BetOnline_AG. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code CLNS50 for your first sign-up bonus, okay? Hashtag BetOnline. Check it out, okay? I highly, 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 highly recommend. It is awesome.
Yeah, of course. Jordan, are you with us? All right, so we got to get Jordan to start his video. So we got Jordan Williams, this guy, who I watched a bunch of his fights last night. This dude's a monster.
Here he is.
A fucking monster. Jordan, how are you, man?
Hey, man, I'm good. Are we doing a video right now, or are we just speaking right now?
We're doing video, so put some clothes on.
Okay, all right, well. All right, dude, I'm having some technical difficulties trying to – all right, here we go.
All right, so we got Jordan Williams, a record of 9-4, awesome fighter. I mean, the dude, if you watch his fight on the Contender Series, he beat the shit out of this dude. I'm going to email it to you right now. Should I email it to you or text it to you, Joe?
Put it in the Zoom chat.
Put it in the Zoom chat. Well,
back in the day, we used to go, hey, that dude, it was a mugging. That was no, really, like when you see somebody get their ass beat like that, you go, ah, he got mugged. It was he owed you money. Like, it's like we kind of did.
Hey, definitely owed me lunch food. Did you see how big that fool was?
yeah, he was big. He was big. And you knocked him out. Like, that was one of the best knockouts I've ever seen. And then afterwards, you said, Dana, give me that fucking contract. Like, you'd start screaming at Dana White.
Yeah, I basically told my new boss, hey, fucking hire me.
In any other sport where you can't walk up in accounting, fuck you, man. If I don't get that promotion, arm bar, double leg, your mother. Like, you
but Jay, to be honest with you, the superior in this setting, he did realize, he's like, hey, you know, no. And then when he finally did something to make him said yes, he was like, all right, I hear you say give me the contract. He like he you know, he fell for me.
Cool.
Was that part of the plan? Like, you knew if I knock this guy out, I'm just gonna tell Dana to do that?
Oh, hell no. I said, Jordan, don't you give this guy any reason not to hire you. You know, like, don't you talk shit, don't you do nothing. And of course, right after that, I was that guy at the party who I was like talking shit, I was dancing, I was crying, like, you know, like none of that was planned.
Dude, well, that was awesome. Now, I've been following your career. So you started, you're from California, right?
Yes, sir.
And you were a great wrestler in high school. You took fifth in the state as a junior. You took second in the state as a senior. Then you got a scholarship to Cal Poly, but they dropped the program?
Oh, so let me, two corrections. I was born in Wisconsin, but I've been living in California since I was 15, you know, so right. That's why I started wrestling, was in Wisconsin. And then that scholarship was to UC Davis. So UC Davis, they offered me that. They're like, hey, whatever financial aid doesn't pay for, we'll cover the rest. You know, you just have to do a year at a JC because, you know, you're kind of stupid. You know, we got to make sure you get Well, I mean, like, it was like, you know, UC Davis, that's like one of the most prestigious schools in California for agriculture and medical reasons. So, like, in medical field. So they had to be sure. So I understand. But during that year, the motherfuckers didn't have enough money to keep the wrestling program. They dropped 10 programs. So, like, I did my job. And then I got, like, this, like, get a 3.0 for a year and prove that you're smart enough. But then I was like, all right. But I thought they had proved to me that they had the money. And that's what fell through with my collegiate career.
Wow. Now why did – Now, why wouldn't you go to another college that had wrestling?
I mean, well, so I started fighting at that point, and I was liking the results from fighting, and I kind of felt like shaded from a school. A, I had turned down scholarships to, like, Oregon State, the Beavers, right, and like Cal State Fullerton, and people were like, why didn't you go back to them? I was like, well, it's kind of like, if I say, hey, sorry, you're not good enough. And then the whole, like, everyone in that division knows what happened to your school. It's like, hey, do you mind if I come back? It's kind of like, I don't know if they would have. And it's more like, I just think, you know, like, man, fuck school. Fuck all that shit. I like fighting. And I was a bit, like, I just found out I was diagnosed with diabetes. So there's a bit of a difficulty during that time of my life trying to juggle diabetes, school, fighting, and ultimately fighting and diabetes, like, won my attention.
Right.
That's crazy. So you got diabetes, and one of the side effects of that is it makes you tired. You can't cut weight. Mm-hmm. A couple other things. Now, how much did that affect you in wrestling, like, leading up to that?
Oh, shit, man. I walked around at, like, 191 or so, give or take. And then out of nowhere, a week or two, I lost a lot of weight, and people were asking me if I was on crack, cocaine. I'm like, you know, and I'm like, nah, man. But it was just the symptoms of being diagnosed diabetic. I lost 20 pounds or like 15 pounds. I went 178, and I could not cut the 174 if my life depended on it. So,
wow.
I was just like really fatigued, urinating like 8 or 9 times during the night, waking up. And like just having like to the point where like not that call where you're like, well, I can ignore it till morning. Like, no, you're going now. Like those, and like so, like that. And then once I got diagnosed, or they told me I was type 2. They misdiagnosed me. And this is all during wrestling season. So, in the beginning of wrestling season, they said, hey, you're type 1. You're type 2 diabetic. A month goes by. He's like, hey, your sugars haven't been below 300. What's going on? I'm like, I don't know. You tell me. They're like, okay, you're a type 1 diabetic. They finally give me on the right medicine. Meanwhile, then I, before that, I fight Max Griffin, amateur title fight, and I beat him as a undiagnosed type 1 diabetic. And so I go in there, I beat him, and then I they finally gave me on the right medicine. I balloon up to 207 pounds. Like,
oh my god,
yeah, crazy. Now I'm like fat boy in a little sweater, right? And like, dude, and I'm cutting down. I couldn't make 174s to make for my life depend at the beginning of a season. This is all during one span of a wrestling season. And then I gained up to 207. I cut the 197, and then I win my first state title ever. So, you know, it sucks, but you know what? I fought through that shit, and like I came out with my I've been wrestling for since second grade. I've been in the state finals like 3 times, and I've never brought home this championship, but until until, you know, I was diagnosed diabetic. So, you know.
Man, that's a roller coaster for your ass. Yeah. Oh, like, it, you know, it's a lot of up and then down. And wait a minute, what the fuck? Like, it just.
By the way, Jordan, this is Shang. I don't know if you know Shang, a really funny comic.
Yeah.
Kind of a legend. He's been on BET's Comic View 4,000 times and Def Comedy Jam.
Why do you always bring up the black credits? Like, I haven't done. They always like I haven't done The Late Show or Comedy Central. Those are.
But Jordan looks half black.
I still pay attention to those feeds.
Bring
you know?
Both up.
Yeah, but Jordan looks. But Jordan looks half. Jordan, no, you are half black, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, man.
Okay, you know, see that's
why. What gave it away? What gave it away?
I know. I couldn't figure it out at all.
Probably the lack of cardio.
You know what? That was.
Hey, I like that. Hey, this is
but. But What's I wanted that? To ask a quick question. So after you were after they figured it out, that's basically what it is. After they figured it out, mm-hmm. then everything kind of did you get in a better rhythm after that? Once you knew what medication and everything was right,
I did. But man, that roller coaster, I didn't let me off after that season. Now I've been a diabetic since I was 19, so 11 years now. It's still sometimes a roller coaster. Like, and I've been controlling this. At the level that I've been at, but now I'm at a next level gym under the instruction of Mark Montoya, and it's like I gotta have my shit regulated. I have no excuses to mispractice and stuff. So it's just like I still am like okay, I gotta make sure that my sugar's like on lock. The other practice, you know, I could be like, all right, make sure my sugars are on point. But if at some point it gets low. You know, I can go up in there. But I can still do that here. Don't get me wrong. They love me here. But I still like the pressure of like missing, just being off the second of a mat for a second. Just even if it's a legit medical reason, you know, just like the game up here is high, baby. It's just like.
Right.
So, and taking care of my diabetes has been on that same, you know, that same scale. Like, I remember when I used to like use Snicker bars. And like soda, not soda, but like just not healthy stuff, you know. Because I used to be like, hey, the people used to tell me like, hey, your blood sugar's low. This is the time you get the tea. You actually get the fucking eat something bad and like get you, and it's a good thing. But then so I would do that, but then I had to get rid of those habits and everything. It's an adjust that each person has to make. And like not that many people I know that diabetic, or I'm the only diabetic I know in the UFC. Or at a high level athlete. I mean, I know there's plenty in the high, like in the, what do you call it? The higher, like professional leagues, but I'm like winging it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like figuring out my own path as I go.
Excellent.
Shane, are you a diabetic, Shane?
No.
Oh.
That's better not because he's black.
now, do you take shots every day?
I do. And man, back to that cardio question. Hey, the reason why my cardio was shot last fight, you know, I'm not gonna lie, but it was shot for the last two fights. I broke my knee before my contender chase fight. I didn't get the run. He was an 8-time jiu-jitsu champion, and I didn't get to do 1 minute of jiu-jitsu. You know how confident that makes you feel? Like, I broke my leg, my knee. I broke my knee kickboxing. So no kickboxing. No wrestling, no jujitsu, just shadow boxing and boxing, and which equals out Jordan's cardio is shit on national television.
Hey, we know we have that clip, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's lock that clip up because I want to. This knockout was amazing. This Shane, you gotta see this. You hit this thing, boom.
Ow.
Hey, take a seat.
Oh my god! And then you just kept punching. Holy. Man, was that for all the times that like people doubted you? You just kept punching this dude.
Hey man, like what was going on is the last fight I on the contender series I rocked that Russian dude Ramazan, and I when I was going to finish him, he dove in. I did not dive on a shot, Dana White. Come on, man, watch the film. He dives in on a shot from me. That's right there. You see me? I kind of like I grab him up and I pick him. I hoist him up. So I can keep punching him. I just knew that I needed to stay at range and just give myself enough distance to keep seeing red, you know?
Yeah. Now your last fight, right off the bat, the guy headbutts you. Now, how much did that change the rest of the fight?
Hey, man, that was a one time. I know it doesn't look like it, but if you rewatch it slow, like, we're both, he staggers. But that was a one time I was staggered ever at 185. Yeah, it was that headbutt. And like, you know, you feel the blood coming down. It's it doesn't look good. Even, like, if blood is coming from a headbutt and the judges know that at round one, by round three, you're all bloody, and the blood could be from anywhere at that point. You know, it just doesn't look good for you. I mean, as a perspective, as a spectator. But as for me, it was causing a little bit of pain, but it was more the second headbutt. Is like, I felt something like shift in my eye, like, you know, my face, and like even the guy Ramos or Imhoff was like, "Yo, my bad," and the refs was like, "Fuck the fight through it." But
here's what happened. So your last fight, you got a broken nose and an orbital bone during the fight. And then you already had a compromised vertebrae.
Yeah.
And you had two headbutts and a low blow. Like,
yeah, man.
Holy shit.
You're like RoboCop, man. You're just like, you're like, you had all these stuff going wrong. You're like, fuck it, keep going.
Right.
That's the thing, man. That's the thing. You kept fighting. You kept fighting. Like, you never once believed you couldn't win that fight.
Oh, no, man. Like, I mean, that's the definition of a fighter. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, Dana White hooked up a little bit, undisclosed-wise for me, doing what I did. But, you know, that's what they want to see. They want to see someone who believes that they're there. And I believe I could be there, man. I'm in the wrong weight class, I'm not going to lie, but I'm in the wrong – like, I just – I was talking shit. You saw how good I felt from that Ramazan, or excuse me, Rodriguez fight. You know, I just walked up in there and I was just feeling myself. But, you know, that's what I got to give a new respect for the league and the game. And, you know, that, like, that's really what it is. Like, I walk in there, I always go forward. I need to be, everyone's like, dude, well, you show a lot of heart. I was like, yeah, well, you know what? I like to show a lot more talent. That way I don't need to show heart. You know, maybe more skill. You know, like, so my next fight, maybe a little more skill than forward pressure, huh? Or maybe just a little bit of balance. But, like, you know, I rocked him. He never rocked me in that fight, but I feel like, Definitely that low blow, man. That shit. I was like, dude, like, I'm not gonna lie, it's too much, dude. Like, you know, my Jimmy was, that was hurting right then, like, right? During the fight. But you know, the beans, man, my right bean was compromised, dude. Hours into that flight into Abu Dhabi, I was about to call the doctor. And I was talking to the UFC the doctor and the girl there, and like, I was kind of like, we're all the UFC fighters all like talking, like waiting to get on the flight. I'm like, I kind of say that, and they all laugh. I'm like, no, I'm like, oh, I'm serious. And she's
now,
like,
were there any girls you could call that you were like, listen, I know this is awkward, but my dick needs to be rubbed.
Well, you know what? If my fiance at the time didn't get, if anyone else besides my fiance at the time got that call, I'd be hearing it.
All right, so you got a fiance. You guys are living in Colorado. Oh no, you guys broke up? You broke up?
Oh yeah, man. Hey, back on the market, baby.
What happened?
What happened in like, you know, a public what do you call this? An intervention setting. She said there's some changes that I needed to make.
Oh, give us the real fucking, I don't want the public intervention. What happened? The chick, she was
back. All right, man, your boy got drunk. Your boy got drunk. I, like, you know, got a little blackout. And we got in an argument over the phone. She basically, after that argument, she was just like, hey, you need to fix your drinking and shit. And like, and whatever, like, you can't be like, you know, and I'm going to move out until you fix your problems. And then once you become a better man, you can come running back to me. So basically what she said was, I'm gonna stay through the thick. When you're being awarded your UFC contract and everything and all that, we're good. But then once you start slipping, you know, I'm gonna move out. I'm gonna take all my shit and move out. And then you're gonna fix your demons by yourself, and then come crawling back to me a better man. And I just kind of wasn't at the end of the day, I wasn't down for that. I was like, if I have a partner who is engaged to be fucking my partner for the rest of my life, I didn't know we could take breaks and timeouts.
Right. After, that's some bullshit, you know, to me. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I'm just like, and you're gonna tell me, and then, even if I did have a problem, my problem, like, you're gonna make me, like, what's the definition of a partnership? Like, to do it together, not like you fix yourself and then you come back.
I could see your side, but I could also see her say, how bad was the drinking?
Okay, so I have like 2 or 3 Mike's Hard Lemonade, Mike's Hard Lemonades a day. Like, they're either 5% or 8%. But also what comes with is I'm a type 1 diabetic. So like sometimes, like when you black out, like sometimes like the shit hits you different, man. Telling you, I drink harder as a 19-year-old than I do now. I would like whiskey all night. Go to work the next day. Who cares? Like, you know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like now if I drink beer, man, my hands and feet swell up. Like, you know,
but you still got to hang. But whoever you're with, they still got to hang in there through thick and thin. Fuck that.
I feel, you know, I drink less actually. I used to drink like a 6-pack a night when we of cider. Of those hard ciders,
yeah.
You know, and then like that was like what I did at night, sometimes like 4 to 6, and then she got me leaning back, so I've been progressively making, as far as alcohol consumption, it was not as bad at the end as it was at the beginning.
Got it. Well, I know I dated an alcoholic who 2 different people when she drank, like when she was drunk, she was crazy. When she was sober, she was crazier. but at the same time, Jordan, you're one of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah,
you're right there. You're a state champ wrestler. You're a national champ wrestler. Your striking is amazing. You're also got diabetes. So yeah. You got to give yourself every opportunity to be the best possible you. So she might have done you a favor. You're right. You need somebody to be with you in the thick and thin. You can't have and breaking up with somebody on the phone is fucking lame too. Like do it in person.
That shit was in person. But no, everything else you're saying is true. It's right. You know what I'm saying? Like I think it was beneficial. You know, to make put a stay. I think there's maybe a different way she could have done it. You know,
young. You're young. You're a great fight team. You're mm-hmm. in Colorado. You're with the best fighters in the world. So we got to be champion, man. I watched your fight and I'm like, this dude could be the champion one day. He's got all the tools. Mm-hmm. He's got all
the thing that I thought was impressive.
My man, thank you.
Your distance. You kept your distance. You didn't kind of, you know, cloud yourself. You didn't clutter mm-hmm. yourself. You kept your distance. You kept hitting. And some fighters, I think, when they do get a couple good headshots, they don't really judge it right. And you did it mm-hmm. just right. And I think that's the one thing I was sitting there. I have my son, and I was like, damn, like you paced it right, pop 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 mop, and then you went down, he went to try like shoot, and you boom, hit him again. So mm-hmm. you got to give yourself all the credit, but you got to give yourself the opportunity to you know, give you that credit. So yourself,
but where's your next fight?
My next fight, first off, that is a you know, complicated question, because there's a lot of things going on right now. A, to give myself you know, the best chance. That's why I did move to Colorado. It's harder to drink and move in with family. I have an aunt and uncle right here that helped me work at Tron. And like, there is, like, you know, not only like, you know, like, I don't believe smoking weed is a bad thing for cardio or anything like that, but I do think it's something that for mental strength does need to be controlled. And I do lean on weed whenever I'm feeling tired, weak, mentally or physically. I do lean on weed, so I did move out here to gain control over all of that. And you guys are right on that. Now, my next fight, I did have one scheduled for February 13th, but my overbone, like you said, like that laundry list of injuries that he had, my overbone wasn't healing up quick enough, and my nose bone and my nasal bone wasn't healing up quick enough. So I just was able to start sparring January 3rd, the doctor cleared me to start sparring.
Oh, okay.
So refreshed. So we pulled out of that fight, but now we're gonna go. I don't even think I need to get tested, but we're gonna go down to the UFC PI Institute, get tested, make sure I can go down to 170s, and then start my welterweight journey. And then Coach Mark Montoya, he wants to make sure that I'm more in shape and more at this gym's peak. Like they have a high, expectancy of you and like or high expectation. And right. they're not fucking around like with everything. Like if you're gonna represent their name on your shorts or when you walk out, you represent that fight gym. He wants at least 2 to 3 months of solid training under them.
Right. So, he's on your basically they're on your ass to be top the well, best.
UFC don't mean shit to you, bro. He's like, yeah, you and UFC, how we gonna feel?
What's up, buddy?
What happened to that native?
Well, Jordan, well, listen, man, thank you so much, brother. And I'm a fan for life, and we're going to get you back on the show soon.
Definitely.
Hey, Adam, man. Hey, everybody, I'm a fan of you both, man. Thanks for nice meeting you, Shane. And, man, Adam, man, all that shit you've been posting is hilarious, man. I fucking
thank you.
Give me good thanks, laughs. Man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Jordan. Take care, man.
All right. Likewise, homies.
All right.
Let's take a break for a second. Joe, I got to tell you about something. Really,
what's
really
that?
Good. Okay. The return we've been all been waiting for is finally here. Finally here, all right? One of the sport's most notorious icons is stepping in the octagon this Saturday. And when I say notorious, you know who I'm talking about. The king, Conor McGregor. Yes. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a free shot at huge cash prizes. I mean, huge, okay? Huge. Now, for this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Doesn't get any better than that. That's no awesome. Way. You haven't tried it yet, okay? Fantasy MMA is so easy to play. Just pick 6 fighters to underneath the salary cap and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There is no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. I could use that money. I really, really can.
Yep.
That's wife and I, we're getting a new house. We need money, all right? Now, plus, don't forget about football playoffs where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs this weekend. I know you guys say that you're big football fans. Okay, I know Greg has a fantasy football podcast, all right? Let's put your money where your mouth is. Let's do it, all right? DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience, okay? That's a big one. Trust me. Now, here's a call to action. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code ROASTED to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the weekend. That's promo code ROASTED to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. There's a minimum $5 deposit. My little baby's excited about it, okay? Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Check it out. All right, we got Bubba Jenkins in the house.
Is that Bubba Jenkins? Is that Bubba
Man, Jenkins? The myth, the legend, the NCAA champion.
Wait a minute, is that Bubba Jenkins?
What's up, people?
The father of three, the role model, the minister, he just signed with the PFL. He won the Brave Championship. He was the Bellator phenom. He's got a win over Jordan Burroughs in wrestling.
Damn.
How many people fucking say that? This dude is a straight savage, and now he's on his 90th gym in Las Vegas.
Why opened did you up say his 90th?
I own this one though, so yeah. So I keep moving until I find something that I can own. Until I find people that can actually partner with me and want to be in the bad man crew, then I keep moving until I find a good mix for myself. So, yeah, right, I'm so on my 90th gym. I know that's a shot at me. I keep it moving until I find, like, what I want. It's an individual sport. Fuck what you talking about.
All right. So, since I know Bubba, he was at ATT. He was at another gig in Florida. He was at the one Rain. Then he was at King's MMA.
Whoa,
whoa,
whoa.
King's MMA.
I was at ATT.
Yeah.
Then I went to Huntington Beach
with
Tiki Golson. So, first I was at ATT with Dan Lambert and Lee Boreal right out of college. Great idea. I needed some different things. So it was a great idea being at ATT. Then boom, smart Bubba J started getting in, started grinding. Dan Lambert, Lebo, okay. Lebo's on his way out the door. So I went, West. I went California, Tito Ortiz and Tiki Golson down in Huntington Beach.
Right.
So Dave Thomas, I messed with those guys. And then from there, I went to Long Beach. Antonio McKee. Antonio McKee, wrestling, grappling, blackness, all that good stuff, right? And then that's three, that's gym number three. Every place was to build me. First, I needed to know what MMA was about, so I went to ATT. Then I needed to know what management was about, so I went with Kiki Golson and started to understand the difference in Bellator and UFC and all that. And then I went to get my grappling and striking game a little bit better, and my thugness and my grit, right? I need to get that down and see what's up with those boys in Long Beach. So I did the Long Beach thing. And then I went to Black House after understanding management, after understanding fighting, after understanding what it's all about, my grit, what the Brazilians do, what everybody does. Then I went to Black House. And after Black House, I own my own spot here.
Jason Perillo. Jason Perillo's gym. What about Perillo?
I never was a part of me and Jason Perillo. He's never cornered me. Me and Jason Perillo worked together.
I thought you were training Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern.
I was training Mackenzie Dern, but I'm not training there. I'm coaching. I'm not training there.
I'm talking about the places
I train or the places that I coach. Because if we're talking about the places that I coach, then we need more than 90 if we're talking about the places that I coach.
He's telling you it's about the journey to his own shit now.
Time out. Let me show you my own shit. Hold on. We actually moving, but let me show you my spot.
Nice. You're moving already? Wait, the whole gym moving?
Yeah, hold on. I got some boxers doing some shows in here.
Wow. But
y'all see the flag? That's my logo, me and Dewey Cooper's logo.
Black Cobra.
But on this side, weights and platforms and all kinds of stuff over here, but we're moving a couple of warehouses down. We need a bigger spot. The shit blew up too quick.
Okay.
Nice.
It's big and scarier, Jim.
What'd you say?
It's big and scarier. This is big, scary, Jim.
Well, the one of the partners that we partner with. It's big, scary. I'm here in Henderson.
Wow, I like it. Black Cobra. Black Cobra is a fucking great name for a gym. Do you have to be black, or could I train there? You have to be black.
Yeah, you can train here. It's not like Black House or. You know, if it's got black in it, just because I'm black and I'm doing it, it's probably why I put it in there. But no, come one, come all. White folks can come.
I like it.
You know, Bubba J got love for all colors, all colors.
Of course. Of course. Of course.
Everybody can get it. That's it.
Anybody can get it. I'm the can man. Mexican, Puerto Rican, y'all can get it. Anybody can come.
Listen, I love Dewey Cooper. He's a great coach. He knows his shit.
Yeah.
You're obviously an amazing coach. You can't get better than you. So I like it. I like it. Now why did you move to Vegas from LA?
I signed with Ali Abdelaziz. Me and Ali had a partnership. I mean, we've just been talking for a long time. He's liked the way that I've dealt with my career. When I went over to Bahrain, he liked, you know, how I dealt with that situation and some of the big wigs over there. And, you know, he was just like, you know what? I think that the PFL might be a move for you. What do you think about that? And this was us just talking. We didn't have an agreement. I didn't sign with him or anything. And, you know, me being in the game and knowing management from different sides. And like I said, my journey, I kind of understood some things. And sitting down with Ali just was, you know, understanding that I'm my own man. I'm my own fighter. I'm you know, I guess a vet in this sport now, but I also know my worth. I know what people are going to offer me to fight. I know what I'm ranked in the world as far as, you know, like other people and where they are. People in the gyms, they know that I'm a hidden gem as far as like the world knowing how really, really good I am in a sense. You know, most of my highlights and good things happen inside the gym where the guys around me know, man, when I come out to the scene, when they really get a show of me, you'll get to see the real exciting Bubba J that most people expected of me first coming out. So after getting that understanding with Ali and wanting to go to PFL and seeing how Palmer's doing so great in the PFL and the money that's in the PFL, it just made a much smarter decision to be under Ali's wing, just being closer to him.
being in the capital of the fight in America, being in the fight capital in America.
Vegas, yeah.
Also, the wrestling community isn't strong out here, as strong as, you know, it is back east Pennsylvania, or it is in California, in Orange County, where I was at. The wrestling community could use, you know, a little bit more of a Division I mindset in it. So that was me thinking about, you know, being having a niche kind of gift to give in the fight capital. Everybody needs a wrestling coach, so me being one of the better ones makes it easier for me to come here and train with Dewey and partner with Dewey, open our own gym and have more people come here and you know, out of the fight capital. It's not a hard reach for me to build something good here. You know what I mean?
Now, are you going to train over at Syndicate or a stream or UFCPI? Because there's some monsters over there.
No. I built my own thing, sir. So I don't have to go no other place. If you got a first class weight room in your garage, are you going to go to LA Fitness? No, but there's
other great fighters over there that you could train with to get better. No.
Yeah, I can absolutely get better, and we can absolutely do the going on tour as far as like going to different gyms, calling them, hey guys, I'm working on some things, I want to come in and work with you guys. That happens everywhere. Of course, we can go get some body work if I need some different taller guys or some different looks. You know, the MMA world and the MMA game in Vegas especially, they allow you to, you know, gym hop in that sense. But for the most part, I got my own home, I got my own fighters. And if you think about it, I didn't win nationals at Penn State where I had all the best wrestlers in the room. I won nationals at Arizona State where there was only another one or two All-Americans. It wasn't really about the guys that I'm working with. It's about me. It's about
you had Anthony Robles. I mean, you had some killers.
I had my 125 pounder. Is that what you're saying? I had me, 157 pounder, double leg, two leg guy, had Anthony Robles, the one leg 125 pounder. Is that what you're saying? Help me get better for nationals?
No. All right, so who are you training with at Bubba Jenkins' gym? That's better than Bubba Jenkins.
Well, I can't say that I'm it's the Bubba Jenkins' gym. First of all, that is only me here training with only guys that I can beat up. Dewey Cooper does a great job in people, but also don't forget Ali Abdelaziz is my agent. Whenever I need work, I can easily get work with any of the best fighters in the world. I just got done sparring with Nasrat last 2 weeks ago. A couple of Nasrat, Audemars, a couple of those 55-pounders that are in the UFC, Ali hit me up. I went to a private session, and I went and go train with those guys. Every now and then, he does that. I train with Gaethje, and I train with a lot of the big-name guys since I've been here in Vegas just because I'm connected to Ali. So if I needed, you know, that extra push, I can get that.
Good. I worry about you, Bubba. I want you to get the best guys in there, you know?
No, I get that. I feel you. And trust me, don't get it twisted. I'm not going to, like, just beat up on guys and just take the easy route. I know the recipe to success. Go ahead.
I've been watching your videos. It seems like there's all 10-year-olds in your gym.
What?
It just seems like there are a lot of 10-year-olds.
No. Bring your ass to the gym, and I'm going to get some of my 10-year-olds on that ass. Come on. Get the shoes. We ain't that far. California is 3 hours. I'm gonna call a couple of my 10-year-olds, and we're gonna do a little podcast live wrestling at the Bubba J gym with Adam Hunter.
I'm just saying, it seemed like some of those guys are a little young, no? Like, I mean, maybe it's class or teacher.
We got some hungry guys, but for real, to be honest with you, it's not the grappling part of me. I got some jiu-jitsu guys that I deal with that help me with my defense and my offense. Phil Dunlap is going to partner with us, and we're going to mix our minds together and do a little jiu-jitsu stuff. But for real, man, my focus, as we all know, is striking. I need not another day of wrestling. I need not another wrestling practice ever in the history of fighting for me to understand and to get wrestling. So really, it's just striking that I need some tutoring in. Of course, having a jiu-jitsu defense and knowledge of jiu-jitsu is important. But my type of wrestling and the striking that I'm getting from Dewey Cooper, I'm telling you, is what's going to be the recipe to my success of winning the PFL tournament. Don't forget, of course, I want to be the best fighter in the world, but I'm fighting in a tournament where having a brand and having a talk and having, you know, to sell yourself isn't that. I have to beat the guy in front of me, then the next guy, then I have to beat that guy in front of me. So each fight, I can prepare for the style of person that I'm fighting. So it's not me trying to go out here and just, you know, put camps together with a bunch of coaches and a bunch of people so I can feel the space of time to say, oh, I did jiu-jitsu. Oh, I did Muay Thai. Oh, I did karate. I ain't doing all that shit. I'm doing wrestling, and I'm striking with Dewey Cooper, and if y'all want that smoke, come get it.
Doom. Have you trained with Kevin Lee at all?
Yep. Kevin comes out. Kevin Lee, Keith Lee, all the Dewey's guys that come through, we always get it in. Don't forget, Dewey got a Rolodex. Dewey been in the game out here for a long, long time. So me partnering with him was an even better thing for me because, yeah, I'm still getting my feet wet in the coaching aspect. I'm still getting my feet wet as, you know, the wrestler around this community in Vegas because I'm big, big known on the East. But here in Vegas, it's a whole new community for me. So me partnering with Dewey was to get my name out as well as also get in some of his clientele of fighters and strikers that need a little bit of help in their wrestling. So everyone that you've ever seen with Dewey that's running around him is also getting wrestling or getting work with me in some kind of capacity.
Wow. Vegas was a good move for you then.
Absolutely. I became a head coach. I'm head coach of the Green Valley high school team. They're the returning state champions. We had our season this year. My first season as a head coach was canceled. So, you know, I'm 1-0 you could say we won the state championship because COVID killed the
COVID
year.
Exactly.
Yeah, we the COVID state champs anyway. So I'm head coach at the high school out here, but they didn't have a wrestling club. So even though you see me having young kids around the wrestling club, my high school team didn't have a wrestling club and they didn't have a wrestling season. So with me building a new gym, partnering with Dewey Cooper, I had enough clientele to just bring the high school kids in, bring the young kids in, and start a clientele at my wrestling facility at my wrestling club. I can build my wrestling club all together. So I became a head coach. I became a gym owner. Co-head coach of a fight team, head coach of a club wrestling team, and head coach of the high school state champ wrestling powerhouse team. So, yeah, Vegas was a real good move.
And you're going to be a millionaire next year when you win the PFL.
And this year I will be a millionaire, absolutely. I'll be a millionaire. And I'll be doing highlights on ESPN because I'm fighting on ESPN too. It's nothing to just, you know, hit a motherfucker with a two-piece and then da-na-na, da-na-na. And I'm on ESPN.
Yeah,
like
to get that last little bit of music at the end, it's always great.
I recently saw you wrestle Jason Nolf, who's like a 3-time national champion. The guy's a murderer. I still thought you were going to pull it off. Were you surprised how good he was?
No, not at all. To be in hindsight, I kind of went out there with the wrong game plan. I haven't wrestled in a while. It's been a long time. And I wanted to really get back to a place of being in the wrestling community because – me being a head coach, me, you know, rubbing elbows with the wrestlers and things out here, in order for me to kind of revamp that kind of notoriety was me trying to go out there to Penn State. With everybody know Bubba J and Penn State can create a kind of a buzz. So me wrestling Nolf, even though knowing that he's in his prime, knowing that he's fresh out of high school and, you know, on the Olympic ladder, I knew that it was going to be a tall mountain to climb. But I kind of went out there with the mindset that I'm going to show people that I still can wrestle. I'm going to show people that I can still get it instead of stalling and waiting for him. And I could have kept the match a little bit closer and tried less things. But as I went out there, I was like, oh, let me show people my Super Duck. And then Super Duck failed. Okay, let me show people my misdirection. And misdirection failed. And meanwhile, I ain't drilled this or worked these things in years. You know what I mean? I did a little 3-week camp, a little 2-week camp. And, you know, I went out to Phoenix for a little bit. Trained with a couple of guys, got ready for a small period of time, but I knew that it was really just a platform, a jumping point for me to jump back into the wrestling community and say, hey, Bubba J was here. Love you guys. Shout out Penn State for bringing me back and then keep it moving. It really wasn't me going into the place of mindset of let me get serious about this wrestling match. But
when they had you in a cradle, you said, you can't do my move on me. Right?
Yeah, I told them that didn't count. They're supposed to take the points off the board because me and KO negotiated that there were no suicide cradles that were supposed to happen. So I should probably sue those guys for that, but we're just going to let it slide. We're on good terms. We're just going to let it slide. But, yeah, he hit me with a cradle, my cradle, in which I learned from them, but I was the one that made it famous because I hit their guy with it in the national finals. And I told him, that's mine now. That's my signature written on that. You can't be – every time y'all do it, even if it's done to y'all and I'm not even in the arena, people mention my name. So my signature is on that.
Hey, man, I give you a lot of credit for even doing that. And also, your singlet, you had the Black Lives Matter singlet.
which is pretty badass. It looked fucking good on you, man.
Thanks, man. I had a lot of people trying to get after me for that singlet. Yo, how much was that singlet? Yo, I'm trying to get one of them singlets. So, I was just trying to do what was, at that time, when they're seeing Penn State and Bubba J back together, or Kale and me back together, I want to speak in third person because I'm now speaking to y'all. When I see them bringing us back together and trying to amend the old and trying to squash the beef of what we had in the past, at that time, too, you got to remember that it was a serious time in the country where it was almost black versus white, red versus blue, Democrat versus Republic. And for me to, I didn't have a Black Lives Matter. It said My Life Matter. I did have a Black Lives Matter shirt, but the singlet that I had was My Life Matters. And I just kind of wanted to have a say for, you know me, I'm always walking the edge of controversial anyway. So I just wanted there to have a saying for, the young Black men out there and just young people out there that your life matters. My life matters. I have children. I have a wife. I have things that matter to me. So I shouldn't just be slaughtered in the street just because you don't like my hair, my style, my swag, my pants, my jewelry, my music, my thing. You know what I'm saying? So that was just all my statement had to be.
By the way, what's your daughter? What's your daughter's name? The newest one,
Jade Ivory.
Oh, thank God!
I got Dream.
You said Dream.
I got Jade Ivory, and I got Drayden.
Okay, because you said on Instagram it was something else, and I thought you were gonna name her. It was like some kind of food or something, or
what did you say?
No. What did you say? You said this is my little. What did you put on Instagram?
Her nickname is Jelly Butters.
I really thought you named her Jelly Butters, and I was like, no. So I was so happy.
That was a nickname.
Oh, okay. Thank God. I swear.
Jelly Butters. It's not butter with an R. It's Jelly Butters. That's my Jelly Butters.
Oh, okay. Because I texted Greg. I go, did he really name his kid Jelly Butters? Like who's going to be the one to tell him? And then I was like, okay.
But even when people got weird at me because I named my son Dream, and I spelled it J-R-E-A-M. Like, oh, Bubba Jenkins named his son Dream, and he spells it with a J. Ha, 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 ha. It's like.
No. But that's one thing. Name your kid Jelly Butters is kind of funny. I mean, if your daughter really was named Jelly Butters. All right. Well, what do we got coming up? But how could if I go to Vegas, I want to join your gym. What do I do?
You come to Henderson, Nevada. You hit me up on Instagram. You hit Dewey Cooper up on Instagram, or the facility that the gym is called Big Scary, the Big Scary Gym. So you just go to Big Scary Gym on Instagram. We got a website with BKTMMA.com. We about to go live. Our January 30th is our grand opening. February 1st, we're going to have everything set, schedules, paperwork, all that good stuff, insurances, all that money stuff. So we getting started, man. I'm fighting again April 23rd, April 29th, or May 6th. We're doing it in pockets. Right. And that's the first three dates of the first section. There's four sections. I believe there's one in April. There's one in June. There's one in August. And then there's in December. Those are the different types, like the regular season, then the playoffs, and then the finals. So they're doing it in sections, and they're giving you a certain period of pounds of dates. We got to go into the bubble. We got to do all that stuff. We're going to be 17-day quarantine before the fight even starts. And we can only have one coach with us unless you can afford two or three coaches or something like that. But it's going to be a task for the mentally strong and those who don't mind to be alone, those who cannot be in others for almost 20 days at a time. And it ain't for the weak hearted. It definitely ain't. It's some man shit only for this year. And it starts in April. I'm believing that they're probably going to have me fight April 23rd.
Well, Bubba, it's great hearing from you, man. I miss you, man. I miss you.
No doubt, man. I miss the 6 hours a day we used to spend together cracking on people, and then me having to reel you in from some of the jokes you would tell and all that shit. Yeah, man. I miss being your bouncer and your what is it? Your words of knowledge. I guess I'm the angel that tells you no. We shouldn't talk about that.
It's the oracle.
We shouldn't say that.
Yeah, you're his oracle. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I love you, buddy. And I'm gonna be in Vegas in February. I'm headlining the Laugh Factory, and I'm gonna come to your gym. Okay.
All right.
So
we'll see you in February, man. Love you back. Thanks for having me. Thank you guys for shouting me out. I hope y'all can hear the interview. I hope I won't yell too bad. I got
no, you're great.
Going on, but it's all good, perfect, man. I appreciate you for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, buddy.
All right. That was Bubba. He actually switched gyms three times during the interview.
during the interviews.
Well, listen, Shang, what do you got coming up?
Man, I'm still staying home. I got some stuff I have to deal with family. So I'm staying home for a bit, and then I'm going to start going back on the road in February. Atlanta Comedy Theater, then I go to the Funny Bone, and then Tampa.
And then Ween Dog, you?
Go buy my Ween Dog for President t-shirt. Go to my Twitter profile. It's my pinned tweet. I'm going to make more t-shirts too, so stay tuned for that.
Wait a minute. Ween Dog for President? Of course I'm voting for you. Are you kidding me? You put guns in chicks' heads. That alone, maybe that your platform, a gun to chick's head, is why I gotta follow you.
100%.
All right, download my special or watch it now on UFC Fight Pass. Thank you guys so much. You guys are the best. Have a great week.
Right, take care, man.
Take care.